Hi, I'm Mike Dasiewicz, CEO of Tricert Financial Group. Welcome to another episode of In Focus. Today we're going to talk about the industrials and technology sectors. Joining me is Dave Gill, our portfolio manager responsible for these sectors. Welcome, Dave.
Good afternoon, Mike.
So let's talk about the, I guess before we get into industrials, I think technology, most people get what's typically in that sector. Just remind the listeners what's in the industrial sector.
Sure. It pretty much is a highly fragmented sector. So a mixed bag of companies that are generally involved in three broad industry groups. So I like to think of them as capital goods. So those are companies that are primarily engaged in, producing capital goods. So let's call them manufacturers of aerospace and defense products, building products, electrical equipment, and machinery, as well as diversified industrial conglomerates. And then there are companies that are involved more on the services side, so commercial and professional services. So, one of the core picks that we all own is automatic data processing, which is a human capital management or payroll services provider. And then finally, we have the transportation names, and those names are just like your railroads, your trucking companies, your package delivery services, that type of firm.
Okay, thanks, Dave. So talk to me about, why don't we start with the industrials? How did that sector do from a business perspective?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, we're literally just at the almost completely done, earnings season for the second quarter of 2024. And, I'd say that, generally for our core picks in industrials and information technology for that matter, reported, in line to better results versus market expectations. That's a pretty solid performance for what traditionally are more economically sensitive sectors, because currently, as you know, the economic backdrop is quite tepid. On the industrial side, results have been helped by things like efficiency gains and more favorable price cost spreads as inflation moderates. And then on the information technology side, the secular AI tailwind or artificial intelligence tailwind is boosting both revenue and earnings momentum, which has been supportive of higher valuations. I think the two main takeaways for me from an information technology and an industrial standpoint are that right now, information technology looks to have pretty strong fundamentals. So strong, call it above market revenue and earnings growth potential, but certainly less attractive valuations from both an absolute and then a market relative standpoint. Whereas industrials probably look a little bit less appealing because they have market-like revenue and earnings growth potential with a more expensive absolute and relative earnings valuation.
So let's focus in a little bit on the tech, and you and I were chatting before the show, and let's talk about Apple and Berkshire Hathaway. So, looks like they dialed back their position in Apple. You want to chat about that?
Absolutely. It certainly garnered a lot of attention. I would say that it probably shocked or startled a lot of investors. If you look at, the headlines that I saw, you saw things such as, Buffett slashes Apple stake. But generally speaking, there's always more to the story behind the headline. And, if you do look at the regulatory filings though, that we saw in Q2, it did confirm that Buffett did sell about half of Berkshire's position in Apple. So about 400 million shares. That was just in the second quarter. Now, context is important. Apple had grown to be, about half of Berkshire's public stock portfolio from the time of their initial purchase in 2016. And then post-sale, Apple still represents its largest holding at about 30%. So if you look at it, Apple was about 50% of the public stock portfolio, and now it's about 30% in both situations. It's still the largest holding. Now, if you look specifically at what Warren Buffett is saying with regards to, sort of details or color on the motivation behind the reduction in his position, and I'll paraphrase here. He said things like, and these are the important points to remember. He said things like, you know, American Express and Coca-Cola are wonderful businesses, and Apple is an even better business. He went on to say that Apple is the largest position at Berkshire Hathaway. It's likely to remain the largest position unless something dramatic happens. And then he went on to talk a lot about the U.S. Fiscal situation right now. He believes that that situation is untenable. He thinks that there is a potential for the government to increase taxes on capital gains from what Berkshire Hathaway pays currently. I think the level is around 21%. He referenced that there's a real risk that the rate of taxation goes up in the near term future to deal with that fiscal situation. So he went on to say basically that he thinks that shareholders shouldn't be so worried that we sold Apple or that he sold Apple at a 21% capital gains tax rate versus what could be a much higher capital gains tax rate in the future. If you look at the actual fundamentals of the Apple story, they just reported their third quarter fiscal year 2024, and total revenue was actually up 5% year over year. That beat analysts' expectations. Total earnings were up 11% year over year. That was ahead. In my mind, this was one of the best quarters that Apple reported, call it in the last year, year and a half. Their revenue is made up of product revenue and services revenue. Product revenue is overall solid, you know, through my lens. And basically, if you look at sort of one of the overhangs on the name recently, it's been sales in China, which have been negative. They improved quarter over quarter. And then their services revenue, which is a higher margin business, came in at an all-time record. And then, of course, we like cash flow, and the company generates a ton of free cash flow, which allowed them to return about $32 billion to shareholders in the form of buybacks and dividends. So that's a lot of really good fundamental characteristics that Apple has currently. And of course, the company has a wide moat because of its powerful brand and its installed base of about a million plus iPhones around the world and 2 billion plus in total devices. Now, we will agree that the valuation doesn't look cheap, but it's not egregious either. In fact, not much looks cheap these days in the equity markets. But for Apple specifically, there's lots of optimism surrounding what could be a better than expected upgrade cycle. As the company announced at their recent Worldwide Developers Conference in June, that they are going to be releasing Apple Intelligence. So that's their AI platform, which is going to be integrated into the iPhone and other products starting this fall. So that's raised a lot of sort of optimism with regards to the potential for stronger revenue in the near term. So overall, we still like the Apple story, but that's a little bit of color and context behind the reduction in the position at Berkshire Hathaway.
Excellent. Yeah, good to cover that off. And you talked a little bit about, call it some of the tepid economic indicators and what that might do or what impact that may have on this sector. Do you want to chat a little bit more about that and maybe some holdings we have to kind of be in a position if that were to follow suit?
Sure. And I guess maybe the first thing I would say is to your point, August is when we saw some economic indicators come out that directly affect spaces like the industrials name. Certainly in technology, we have this secular driver, which is allowing tech stocks to sort of ignore the economic backdrop, if you will. Whereas industrials, they largely succumb to, you know, better or weaker economic fundamentals. And if you look at what happened in August, we saw things like a weaker jobs report to start the month. We saw weaker than expected ISM manufacturing numbers. We also saw weaker than expected industrial production. So the overall manufacturing environment, which is a key driver, a macro driver for industrials, would best be described as subdued. Now, in light of that type of economic backdrop, I would say that, you know, there's always opportunities in the market. And here at TriCert, you know, we use our QSect approach to identify candidates that work in all sort of economic regimes. And one of the names that I would highlight as a name that probably works in this type of environment is Republic Services Incorporated. Now, that company is the second largest integrated provider of traditional solid waste services in the U.S. It operates about 200 active landfills and about 250 transfer stations. The company serves residential, commercial, and industrial end markets. So this is sort of a stock, you know, we were talking about it before, where, you know, indeed, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Right. Its core business literally is solid waste collection, transportation, and disposal. Now, it does have adjacent businesses, which include recycling and environmental services, so things like hazardous waste disposal and landfill gas. But its core business is just trash collection and disposal. If you look at the industry drivers for their core business, they include things like, you know, real GDP growth, population growth, housing starts, and CPI trends. But the overall addressable market is large, and it's generally attractive because of its oligopolistic nature. There are high barriers to entry, which protect vertically integrated operators like RSG or Republic Services, who own increasingly scarce landfill capacity. And if you look at current macro backdrop, like I said, where things are weakening off, this should be supportive given the fact that the solid waste industry revenues are highly defensive and usually grow in the low single digits longer term. Other attractive financial characteristics of this industry include high recurring revenue, sustainable pricing power, opportunities for M&A, so they can grow through consolidation, and there's obviously resilient demand for essential services like waste collection and disposal should the macro deteriorate from here. And then, almost more importantly, if you look at their recent financial results, and we pay a lot of attention to company fundamentals, of course. The company just reported its second quarter, and both the top line and the bottom line were better than expected, as the company used stronger pricing to offset lower volumes. The company also benefited from a tech-driven efficiency program that they put in place to help with things like route optimization and fleet management. That helped to expand their margins. And then they got an additional kicker from stronger recycled commodity prices for things like OCC or old corrugated cardboard.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I love this as an example because quality, you know, trash can be a quality investment. So that's good to hear.
Real quickly, just with that, you know, then you start thinking about like the valuation of the company. And for a quality company like this in a arguably deteriorating macro environment, you know, what sort of valuation do you have to pay for a company like this? And, you know, we will admit that the company is trading at the higher end of its valuation range, but, you know, I think you're well aware of, what the markets look like in terms of their valuation ranges right now. And we think for this specific idea that it's warranted due to, its high quality, fundamentals. I think, you know, you've done a good job of talking about the Tricert investment approach. And, you know, we look for quality companies to hold over the long term. And those quality companies have the hallmarks of, you know, being a dominant industry player, high barriers to entry, robust business models, solid balance sheets, you know, the potential to raise dividends, and then companies that trade at reasonable valuations. And we think that this is a name that checks all of those boxes.
Excellent. So looking forward then, any, you know, for the sector, industrials and or tech, any headwinds or tailwinds that you're looking at that or any other, you know, areas you're watching that will help guide you?
Yeah, I would say that for information technology, clearly the story of the day is the Gen AI tailwind. So the sector traded up in anticipation of growing revenues and earnings just based on future demand for Gen AI. The issue now is that the sector, so the participants in the sector, the companies in the sector are going to have to be able to monetize the opportunity. You know, if we look at specific core names that we have, like Microsoft and Apple in the sector, they've done a good job. You know, Microsoft, for example, is making significant investments, so they've seen a large ramp up in their capital expenditures, but they've been able to maintain margins in light of that increased investment. So definitely that the AI tailwind is one thing that we're watching on the IT side. On the industrial side, you know, we just, like I referenced at the beginning of this, the podcast, it's an economically sensitive sector. So while we've had, sort of negative, macro, releases in the last, call it month or so, that really is green lighted, interest rate cuts from the Federal Reserve. And it's important to remember that, the stock market is not the economy. So even though we're seeing weaker economic data, you know, if the Fed starts cutting rates, we've seen in recent past how supportive that can be to equity markets. And so generally speaking, a sector like the industrials, which is levered to a weakening macro, can be helped by things like more accommodative monetary policy. So those are two things that we'll be watching on the industrials and IT side on a go-forward basis.
Really good point in terms of the stock market, the economy, and then impact of interest rate decisions and what that can do or may do to the equity market. So that's great. Dave, thanks for this great update.
Thanks, Mike.
Folks, as always, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to talk to your wealth advisor at your CPA accounting firm. Talk to your portfolio manager from TriCert Investment Counsel, or don't hesitate to reach out to myself. Take care.